The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impact of ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Audio of this and each episode of Bengal Business can be found at kisu.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Bengal Business Radio Show. I'm thrilled to be joined today by my guest and friend, Kelly Herding. Kelly is not only an Idaho State University College of Business alum, but he's also the owner of Herning Buick GMC here in Pocatello, Idaho. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Well, Kelly, I'm thrilled to have you on. So what my listeners probably don't know is that Kelly was legitimately about the third person I ever met in Pocatello. And in addition to all the great things that he and his business do in the community and for ISU and for our College of Business students, Kelly's been a great friend to me and supporter. And so, Kelly, I'm very thankful for you and thankful to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you. We're really happy that you made it out here.
Well, we love it here and feel so blessed to be part of this community and of Idaho State University. So Kelly, let me start by this. I always start with our guests. Tell us a little bit about your journey, about how you got to ISU, and then your career after you graduated from the Idaho State University College of Business.
Okay. I grew up in Idle Falls primarily, so ISU was kind of a natural fit. It was close. When I got down here, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I started in political science, didn't like that, tried a few other things. I was always good with math, and I took some accounting classes, and it really fit. It was a real niche, and graduated with a bachelor's degree in accounting in 1984, and went to work in the public accounting field and did that until 1991, and then I moved back here to work with my father.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. So when you talk about what was it like as a career in public accounting? I talked to a student earlier this week who said, "Dr. Ryan, I'm thinking about accounting and a career in accounting. What does that look like, being in public accounting as you were for a number of years?"
Well, I was on the auditing side, and I really got a kick out of it. I found it very enjoyable, very fascinating. Every client was a different industry, a different business, different accounting rules. You know, you had to figure out revenue recognition, things like that. So I found it very, very interesting and very exciting, which some people might think, how can you find accounting exciting?
But it's very exciting. And one thing that Kelly can speak to and that I would say is truly we have one of the best accounting programs in the country. Our students are going to Big Four firms as well as all kinds of public accounting firms and doing exciting things. So now let me ask you this, because this is another thing that you see, and I think this is important as students, those of you who are former students as you develop in your career. So going from public accounting to running a business, What were the things that you learned or lessons you learned or challenges maybe associated with that?
Well, the difference is, in auditing, it's kind of like the war's already over and you're just counting. And when you're running your own business, you're making decisions constantly day to day. And sometimes you make good decisions and sometimes you make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, it costs you money. So it's very challenging.
So running a car dealership has challenges, I would guess, in any time, but certainly with the pandemic and what we've lived through the last 10 or 11 months, has that had an impact on you guys from maybe a supply chain issue or customer service issue or something like that?
It's had a huge impact on the supply of vehicles. Vehicles right now, new vehicles are extremely hard to get still. There's about a 5 to 10 day supply nationwide of full-size GM trucks. So we're selling those before they ever arrive here. You know, they're in transit, and the customers are putting their name on those, putting a deposit on them. So inventory's been a real challenge. Also, we were deemed an essential business,
okay. So
we never shut down. But that means we had to take all the precautions, face masks, hand sanitizer. We've got a fogging machine that we fog the entire dealership every day.
Wow.
You know, anytime a customer brings their car in, we have to go out and wipe it down completely. Before we pull it back in for the technician to work on it. And then when the technician's done, we pull it back out and go through the same process again. So when the customer gets in the car, it's completely wiped down. The keys have been sterilized, all that stuff.
So this is something that I think is fascinating, Kelly, is in your role as a business owner and all the employees, families, things like that, Can you talk a little bit about just the challenge of that, of trying to navigate through the pandemic and keep people safe, but also continue to help people, you know, make a living and to help people, you know, buy cars and move forward in their lives?
Yeah, we didn't lay anybody off. We didn't have any staff reductions when COVID hit. Things slowed down a little bit, but with the CARES Act, the federal government actually would reimburse you on your federal taxes if you paid somebody to stay home. So right out of the gate, I made sure all the employees knew if they had any symptoms, if they didn't feel good, if one of their kids was sick, just call us and stay home, you know, stay home until you test negative and then come back to work. So that's been a challenge because we've had several people out for extended periods of time. And when you got an organization with less than 50 people, if you lose two or three people for
it's critical.
You know, several weeks, it makes a big difference. So,
well, you know, one thing that people have probably seen in the news recently, but Kelly and his family and the dealership were very, very generous in permanently endowing a new scholarship here in the Outer State University College of Business. And Kelly, we are so thankful to you and your wife and your family for that support. When I say permanently endowed, I got to ask a question of this because I mentioned that on a previous show. And what that means is that that scholarship will go on forever. So 100 years from now, if my great-great-grandchildren decide to come major in business or accounting at the Outer State University College of Business, then they would be eligible for that Herning Buick GMC scholarship. And we're thankful to you, Kelly, to do that. I know how much you love Idaho State University. Can I ask, why do you feel so passionately about ISU?
I had a great experience here. My brother also went to school here. My mom actually graduated from nurses training here back in the 50s. So we've got a long history with Idaho State University. And I feel very strongly that my experience at Idaho State combined with the work ethic that my parents taught me is what has been key to any successes I've had in life. And when I got out of the accounting program here, I went to Deloitte, which is one of the big four.
Absolutely.
And they weren't called that then, but that was a long time ago. And I was working side by side with kids from Notre Dame and University of Michigan, and they were still studying for the CPA exam 2 or 3 years after they were out of school. And I used to tease them and say, you know, you make fun of Idaho, but my whole class graduated the CPA exam as seniors. So
it's amazing. And the CPA pass rate that we have, and again, you see this consistently at Big Four firms, but at public accounting firms all over the country where our students are lined up with the best university students in the country. So one thing I wanted to ask, and I want to ask it in kind of two parts. You were an accounting major. And I know that your scholarship supports future accounting majors, but if students are listening to this, current students, maybe undecided majors, what is it about accounting that you would give advice as to why that's beneficial to their career?
If you have a good, strong accounting background, it really helps you succeed in any business. I know people that are in a similar situation that I'm in, and they have no accounting background, and they have to totally rely on what the office hands them and just assume it's accurate. And they can't dig into the details because they don't have the training. So if you spent, you know, if you've got a good, strong background in accounting, you know where the numbers, you know, should be. And if something's out of whack, you know where to look. And it just really helps you, I think, run a business, especially a small business.
I've had several business owners over the years that would say, told my students, if you want to be a business owner one day, the thing that's going to come in most handy for you is accounting, because it impacts every part of your job and what you do. And then obviously, our students going out of public accounting, there's a tremendous demand for them, and so lots of career opportunities. And then the other question I wanted to ask on advice is for the students that are listening to this that are thinking about one day they want to be an entrepreneur, they want to own a business. What advice would you have for them as they kind of try to work towards that goal?
Probably the best advice I would have as they work toward that goal would, work as hard as you can. Don't take the easy way out. You know, get there early, stay there late. That's the only way you're going to succeed. The other piece of advice I would give any of the current students is, you know, pay attention to business ethics. It's unfortunate that, and you see it in large institutions, small institutions, but, you know, we see major banks, people like that, that are having major problems because somebody's ethics got out of whack. And they were chasing incentive dollars and doing things they shouldn't have done. And when I got out of school, Arthur Andersen was the king of the accounting firms. Yep. And after Enron, it took less than 12 months, and they just disappeared. And, you know, a lot of people got hurt.
I think that's such a great point. And I think about the year that I graduated from undergraduate, the number one hiring firm at the university where I went to school was Arthur Andersen.
Yep.
And I often tell my students, I said, you know, I live 1,000 miles away from that, but I can tell you the exact number of students that Arthur Andersen hired this year. It was zero. And because of Enron and the things that happened with that, you make a great point on ethics. Is there any advice that you would give for students on that? Because, again, I think sometimes students, and we think about ethics as kind of in a vacuum, right? Hey, would you do this bad thing? And you say no, but yet we still see these ethical challenges at large companies that have gotten into all kinds of trouble. They've seen their share prices hit. They've had layoffs. Any advice on that, on students kind of developing that ethical framework as they go forward?
Well, I think everybody's got an internal compass, or most people do. They know the difference between right and wrong. And sometimes you get pushed by a supervisor or somebody over you to do something you don't feel good about. And, you know, don't let people do that to you. And if the organization is doing things that you don't feel good about, it's probably time for you to find another organization to go to work for.
So. No, I think that's so true. And I think people have to look at that and say, you've got to be most honest with yourself on what you're willing to do and to do those things. Well, Kelly, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the show. I can't thank you enough for everything that you do for all of us in the Idaho State University College of Business. I encourage anyone that's listening to go visit Herning Buick GMC, a truly remarkable company, great people, great service. And Kelly, we thank you for everything you do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back with Dr. Neil Taher and Tara Smith here on the Bingle Business Radio Show.
Try streaming our signal at KISU.org or simply tell your Amazon or Google smart speaker to play KISU. Remember, even when our FM signal is out, KISU continues streaming live online.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this month's edition of the Bingle Business Radio Show. I'm thrilled to be joined by our next guest. Dr. Neil Taher is a professor of management and the chair of the Department of Management and Marketing here at Idaho State University, as well as Tara Smith, who does a great job as director of undergraduate programs for the Idaho State University College of Business. Neil and Tara, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane. Glad to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you both. And just before we get to the topic that we want to talk about, our online completion degree in general business that we're now offering here in the Idaho State University College of Business, I just want our listeners to get to know you if they haven't seen you on campus or been in one of your classes. So, Neil, we'll start with you, my friend. How did you end up as a professor of management and chair of the Management Marketing Department here at Idaho State University?
Well, Shane, as you know, I'm from Great Falls, Montana originally. And so when I finished off my PhD at Auburn University, this job came open and I was fortunate enough to get it and had nothing but a great experience in the College of Business. I love my students and Pocatello is a great area. Excited about all the new business growth and all the new growth in our College of Business, and was lucky enough to become chair in 2017. And we've grown the department since and added healthcare administration and refined our curriculum and grown our MBA program. So just a good thing to be a part of and happy to be here.
Absolutely, Neil. And for those of you listening out there, every day in the College of Business, we are better off because of Neil's leadership and what he does. In addition to all the things he does from a leadership standpoint as chair, Neil is truly one of the best management professors in America. Neil, for our listeners, and I know we have a lot of former students that listen, what classes do you teach?
So I'm lucky to be able to teach a variety of classes. I think I'm a good professor, one of the best in America. Might be a bit of a stretch, but you know, I'll take it. I teach the organizational behavior class, which is more of an organizational psychology class, kind of the study of the way people work in groups and structures. and how that affects the functioning of a company or an organization. I teach that class both at the undergrad, the graduate level, and then I get to teach both our capstone courses. I teach the strategic management class that all of our students in the undergraduate program take on the way out the door, that focuses on looking at business from the top manager's view and how a business positions itself to succeed in the marketplace. So it takes the students out of their functional area, which they've been studying for 4 years, and makes them look at the entire organization as a whole. And then I teach the capstone MBA class as well, where students go out and do consultations with local firms and affect their strategies and the way they implement things and do a lot of market research for them and all kinds of different products. And I also oversee the management interns in the management department. And once in a while, they let me teach, you know, the small business management class.
Right.
So that's fun. So I teach a variety of different courses, and I really enjoy all of them.
Well, we appreciate Neil so much. And I know so many of our listeners, Neil and his class and his students have done projects working with the SBDC and with a number of companies throughout the region. And so, Neil, we appreciate you. So glad you're here. And I'm also thrilled to have as our guest Tara Smith. Some of you that are current and former students know Tara well. Tara is Director of Undergraduate Programs and handles a wide variety of things in the College of Business, all in an incredibly positive and professional way. And Tara, we're so thankful to you. So tell us a little bit, Tara, how did you become a Director of Undergraduate Programs here in the ISU College of Business?
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I've been at ISU for about 10 years now, which it feels like 2 years. So I have no idea how it's 10. when I first started at ISU, I worked in the Career Center, actually, for my first 7 years here, and I really enjoyed it, liked interacting with students. I talked to employers a lot. But with that being said, throughout my time here, I consistently worked with the College of Business. You know, I worked with all colleges, but College of Business always held a special place in my heart because I saw how much they did for their students, how much they truly cared, and how much the students benefited from that close relationship. So when I did see an opening for the College of Business, I jumped on it because I wanted to become a part of that machine, you know, that made students successful. And I am lucky enough that I was selected for the position. So I've been in the College of Business for about 3 years now in my role. And I help, you know, it's really great. I get to see the student. I help recruit. So I'm in high schools a lot of times or meeting with students who are interested in coming back to school if they've been in the career. And instead of just recruiting them and handing them off to someone and never seeing them again, I then work with them throughout their time here, advising them on what courses to take. So it's nice to just kind of like see them progress and mature and then land that job or get a promotion at the end. So I've really enjoyed my time here.
Well, Tara, we're the lucky ones. Our students are the lucky ones because of all the great things you do. And Tara consistently is doing everything possible to help our students succeed and graduate and start great professional careers, which is the main reason that Neil and Tara are with us today. One of the questions that I get often when I go out and speak at events in the community is I'll have somebody come up to me and say, "Hey, Dr. Hunt, I have some hours towards a degree. I have an associate's degree. It would really help me in my current career or my job if I could finish a bachelor's degree in business." And what we have just recently launched is something that I think is super exciting for that, which is our online completion of degree in general business. So, Tara, let me start with you and just kind of walk through folks that may be listening and saying, "Hey, I've taken some hours. I don't really know how that process works." Kind of walk through how that online completion degree in general business works.
Of course. With the online completion program, in order to be eligible to go into it, you need to hold an Associate of Arts or Associate of Science. Upon then, I can review your transcripts for some beginner business courses that you may have taken. If you haven't, that's okay. And then you will begin taking some core classes that we have chosen specifically. You know, we've left out courses like professional development because the assumption is that many of them are working already and they don't need to have that curriculum loaded onto them when they already have busy lives.
Right.
And then they get to pick a few electives that they have interest in. So if they're working, you know, in the financial sector, they can take finance courses. If it's agriculture, may they take some operations management courses. So the main thing is that I will review your transcripts if you have a few credits. And if you don't qualify for the completion program, we also have a typical general business degree we can get you in. But for the completion program itself, holding an Associate of Arts or Associate of Science will be important.
No, that's great, Tara. And I think this is so exciting for students looking to take that next step in their career and move forward. Neil, I think there's several things about this program that are really exciting, but two that jump to mind when I look at it is the ability to interact with our best professors and also the flexibility in the program as far as people's time and schedules.
Yeah, so Shane, one of the things we looked at, and I was kind of the one that said we need to do this a couple of years ago for a couple of reasons. One, there's thousands of people across the state of Idaho in this position where they have an associate's degree, and a lot of them even have a few credits towards a four-year degree. Some of those people even have student loans, but they don't yet have the four-year degree. And obviously, an individual's salary rates go up significantly when they get the four-year degree.
Absolutely.
And the research says that over the next 10 years, they'll move up much faster in their professional lives, and they'll be better prepared. But one of the things we had to do at Idaho State as we started online classes, we sort of watched some of our competitors who jumped out first and learned a few things. One is, online programs cannot be outsourced to a third party. And online programs cannot be taught by faculty that are maybe not your best faculty. If you're going to have an online program that's a good program, it has to be taught by your best faculty, because online classes are actually more difficult to teach than regular in-person classes. They're more difficult to take sometimes, even though they're very convenient for the working professional, and they're very difficult to teach. So we have our best faculty now teaching our online courses. We also have a flexibility that is unique to ISU in this sense. You can do this program as people think about an online program, where you take classes that are what I would call completely asynchronous. You never really have a class meeting. Everything's put up on videos, and you do discussion forums online, and there's a variety of different learning methods, but you don't ever have to meet your class. That's very advantageous to a lot of professionals that want to do most of their schoolwork at night or on the weekends or whenever they have time. But we also have classes that are synchronous. And so there are synchronous options too for a lot of classes that are difficult, like for instance, a finance class. You might be able to do that class in a synchronous format where you come in and you're online, you're at home or on Zoom, which everybody's become familiar with over the last year due to the pandemic. But we have those options for students. And even though it's an online program, Shane, if somebody for some reason wanted to come to campus and take a class or had a semester where they wanted to become a full-time student, we would not preclude students from coming to campus and taking in-class classes either. So we've designed the program with the typical online features that most people think of in an online program, but with other areas of flexibility if the student should want that, and with our best professors teaching the classes.
Oh, Neil, I think that's great. And I think about that as a first-generation college student myself, just the impact of that and the flexibility. So, you know, being able to take it all online at my schedule asynchronously, if that's at night or in the mornings or on the weekends. But then I love the fact that there's the flexibility to be able to say, okay, I want to take this synchronously, or I'm going to be in Pocatello or Idaho Falls or one of our campuses, and I would like to take a class in person from this professor. Having that flexibility is amazing. And I think a consistent theme that you'll see throughout, you know, or if you've listened to all of our shows, it's just the great professors we have. And I think what Neil said is something that we've made a very intentional, conscious effort about, is putting our best professors in those classes to give you, as students, the best possible experience. Tara, let me ask this question to you. So if someone is listening today and they're thinking, hey, I have an associate's degree, or I'm, you know, pretty far down the path, I would love to finish this program, how can they go out and find more information about this?
Yeah, we do have it on our website. So it's isu.edu/COB, College of Business. So we do have on the sidebar a information of the curriculum and the program. But overall, I think that students would probably be best served to connect with an advisor right away so we can answer any questions. You know, I have to dig through information. So I'm happy if anyone would like to email me. My email is tarasmith@isu.edu. And you can find that on the website as well. And I would be able, you can send unofficial transcripts to me. I'm happy to create you a plan so we can lay out exactly how you want. Of course, this plan may change. Life happens, and I'm always here to help customize that plan for them. So I would certainly recommend that they just connect with me or Ashley Larson. She is our other advisor, and we can answer any questions that they have.
No, and I think that's such a great benefit of the College of Business. I hear from students all the time the positive impact that Tara and Ashley have on them to make sure they take the right courses, to make sure they're not taking things that don't count. And Tara's always there and available to help customize that. Like you said, life happens, things change, and Tara's always there to make sure that you're moving closer to your goals and career dreams going forward. So I'm going to ask Neil in just a second for a piece of advice, but my advice to anyone interested in this would be to talk to Tara because she'll be so helpful in the process. So Tara, we thank you for that. So Neil, we got time for one more question. So I'm going to ask you, we have some amazing college students in all of the different majors. You get to teach the capstone course. So they take Neil's class their last semester in college. So since you have a lot of soon-to-be college graduates, if there was a piece of advice or some advice that you would give them as they embark on their professional lives, I thought maybe I'd ask if you'd share that with our listeners today.
So Shane, I think the number one thing I like to tell graduates is, one, don't put too much pressure on yourself right after graduation. You have a college degree, that college degree lasts for a lifetime. So if the dream job that you're searching for doesn't happen in the first 24 hours after you graduate, that's okay. The knowledge and the experience you will get in college and in your four-year degree will pay off for a lifetime. And I do teach strategic management as that capstone course, as you mentioned. And one of the things that's important about strategic management is it's wonderful to learn that skill when you're operating a company, but you also have to live your life that way. You have to have a strategy in mind of what you want to accomplish, and then you have to set off objectives and goals to make that happen. But be willing to change that as life happens. That's been said a couple times today. And so, you know, strategy and strategic management are a skill you can take with you for life. And the degree pays off over a lifetime. It doesn't pay off in the first 10 minutes after you graduate. So that's one piece of advice I would share with students. And the other piece of advice I would share, obviously, is to, you know, when they get rich, to come back, you know, and help us professors out by, you know, coming back and telling us their story and how glorious their life is so that we can live vicariously through them, right, Shane?
It is the best part of our job, and it's amazing. And some of the gift announcements we've done, new scholarships recently, to hear alumni of the ISU College of Business talk about how the professors and staff here in the college changed their lives, and now as they have built incredibly successful careers, that they are doing their part by giving back to support our current students and future generations of Idaho State University students. So, been great visiting with you both, Dr. Taher, Tara. Thank you both so much for everything you do every day at ISU. Thank you to everyone listening this month. Thanks to our guest, Kelly Herning. And we hope everybody has a great evening. It's a great time to be a part of the Idaho State University College of Business family, and we look forward to visiting soon. See you next month. Go Bengals.
The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impacts of our ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Each episode features ISU College of Business alumni who is a senior executive at a leading organization, sharing their experiences, thoughts on current business, related events, and advice for business professionals and entrepreneurs. In addition, each episode features interviews with an ISU College of Business professor where they discuss their research, the impact it is having to solve current business problems, and innovative things they are working on in the classroom. The show is hosted by Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business. Join us on the final Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. here on KISU FM for Bengal Business.